illuminated by the headlights. I told you I have this under control. No need for you to oversee. Saeed stepped forward. Need I remind you what happened to your predecessor? There's the difference. I'm not foolish enough to let a federal agent aboard my vessel. Saeed waved off the cigar Jose offered him. Jose shook his head. You and all those rules. Saeed ignored the comment, disgust for Jose evident in his narrowing eyes. I'm here to inform you we have a change in plans.
Oh?
Jose flicked ashes on the pavement.
Hopefully not a cargo switch. The weapons and parts have just finished loading.
No, not the cargo. The destination. And it would do you well not to utter such words about what you carry.
It's only my men here. And unlike Jackson's, my men fear and obey me.
Every fiber of Luke's being burned with the urge to stop this shipment in its tracks, to take the men out now, before the weapons and whatever parts they were referring to reached his homeland. But he'd been ordered to stand fast, listen, and report. While he understood the reasoning behind it, it felt innately wrong not to act. But if he did, it wouldn't stop the threat. It would only fuel it. A war was headed for U.S. soil, and tonight, there wasn't a thing he could do to stop it.
Why the change?
Jose asked at Saeed's silence.
Baltimore is too hot right now. There's a Fed there who has latched on to the paltry information he thinks he uncovered on the harem.
Jose chuckled.
You can't stop one federal agent. He's been relentless, not to mention extremely lucky. But his days are numbered.
Luke swallowed, knowing exactly whom they were referring to. His contact in Baltimore had informed him that his childhood friend, Declan Gray, had uncovered the arrival of Anna J. Darmati on the Hiram, and was doggedly pursuing what he believed, correctly, was a pattern of terrorist activity. Luke's finger itched on the trigger, every instinct whispering to squeeze it, to protect Declan, to protect them all.
In the meantime, take the shipment into Galveston. Our man from Houston will transport the cargo back east. You're the boss. But isn't Houston and the Galveston port how the other Fed got onto us in the first place? That needn't concern you. That Fed is dead. Soon the Baltimore one will be as well. Fine, but it's going to cost a hefty sum to get the manifest changed at this late date. To cut through the red tape. I understand. Just take care of it.
Jose nodded, exhaling a gray puff of smoke. Saeed's jaw tightened in the lights bouncing off his profile.
And the doctor?
Jose asked.
He'll be liberated when the time is right.
Saeed swatted a bug off his damp white shirt, clinging to his back in the thick humidity. He studied Jose.
Why does the doctor matter so much to you?
I told you, Jose said. The doc and I made nice on his journey over. I don't like him rotting in some prison cell.
He won't be there much longer.
Saeed's smile turned to one of malice.
And then their empire will crumble into dust.
Chapter 1 Declan Gray started his day as he did every other. He showered, shaved, dressed, drank a strong cup of black coffee, ate two slices of cinnamon and sugar toast, and then headed out the door to work, calling his friend Griffin for a quick chat as he drove. The office was humming when he arrived, and he was pleased he'd made it nearly half an hour early, despite 695's horrific morning commute. Today was the meeting he'd been pushing for with his boss for nigh on a month. An attack was headed for U.S. soil, and no one was doing a thing to acknowledge it, let alone stop it. He entered the meeting room, planning to have time to run back through his argument before Alan King showed, but his boss was already there, deep in conversation with a woman. Both had their backs to him. The woman was 5'7", athletically lean and toned, her brown hair almost identical in shade to Tanner's. His gut sunk.